Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests.
But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year, and you know what it is. Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Colton's gone and I don't care. Do-da. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we were already on air. Welcome, Survivor fans, to the Survivor Blood vs. Water Roundtable Show, hosted by Michael Cowboy Ellis from Big Brother Season 5. My name is Cherry Garcia, and my sidekick is Paul from Minnesota. And on behalf of the entire Rad Reality Show Network, we'd like to say that if today is your birthday, anniversary, or any special day, we'd like to say that we hope you had a happy, happy day. I know that Paul from Minnesota has had a really big evening today, and I want him to wait until we bring up our host before he shares any of that information. So I'm going to do things a little bit differently. So I'm going to bring up our host, and then we'll talk to Paul from Minnesota. So here is the intro music to bring up our host, the man with the biggest heart and the biggest hat, Mr. Michael Cowboy Ellis, and then we'll talk to Mr. Paul from Minnesota. So here we go.
At Kitty's place, I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride, just like Gene and Roy, singing those campfire songs. Oh, I should have been a cowboy.
Welcome, Michael Cowboy Ellis. How are you?
Oh, Paul, I'm up first tonight. No, I had to say that. Oh, I'm doing great. Cannot complain. What a wonderful night that we're going to have tonight. I'm a little bit jealous of just hearing a little story that Paul is about to tell everybody. And, you know, of course, I know that he's always jealous of meeting other people, but he actually got to meet somebody special. So I'm not going to spill the beans anymore. I want to hurry up. I want him to talk about it because I'm anxious for once to hear how his day went. Paul, how did it go? What did you do?
What on earth? Hi, everybody. This is Paul from Minnesota. What on earth could you be talking about? No, I'm just kidding. Cherry, you know I'm just chomping at the bit, and you know, to talk about this. And it's like, not yet, Paul. Not yet, Paul. Not yet, Paul.
I had to have Cowboy on air with us before you talked about this. You know, I had to bring him up first.
Yeah, somebody had to pull the reins in on me because I'm just a bucking away here, Cowboy.
I bet you are. You know, I tell you what, I am too. So hurry up, quit talking,
right,
and spill the beans.
All right.
Let's hear it, Paul.
About a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago, Amanda came up here to Minnesota to spend time with McRae and said that they thought they'd do a meet and greet at the Mall of America. Well, that never happened. And then a few days ago, they decided they'd do a meet and greet in the little small town of St. Francis, Minnesota, at McRae's Pizza Place at Mansetti's up in St. Francis. Now, this is a little town, pretty much out of the way, and it was about a 45-minute drive north of where I live in the Minneapolis metro area. And so it's out in the boonies, little tiny town with a little pizza place, and they said it would be between 7 and 9 p.m., and then just today they decided we're going to add another hour. We're going to start at 6 p.m. So all my plans...
Well, you're leaving something out. We had Judd on the Manic Monday show with Michelle Costa on Monday, and on Tuesday he was flying up to go up and be with Amanda and McRae, right? And
yep,
so Judd
yep,
was up there with them, correct?
You're absolutely right. And this was not supposed to happen. He initially was going to come up to Minneapolis. Then he tweeted that he wasn't going to come because the tickets were too expensive. And then a few days later, he said, I just booked my tickets up to Minneapolis. And indeed, we had him on Monday, and he was flying up to Minneapolis the next day on Tuesday. So he's been up here as well. At any rate, they added an extra hour to start at 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Of course, I knew that I had to get back for a show, so I just planned to go up there as early as I could. But I got there about 6:15. The regular parking lot was already filled. They were directing us down a dirt road where overflow parking. It was a chilly 55 degrees, and people were just standing in these long lines already outside of the pizza parlor. And I'm talking about this because I was just amazed at the size of the turnout from the Big Brother fans at such a out of the way place, you know, just this little town at a little pizza parlor place. And waited in line, finally got up to a table near the front door, and I saw this beautiful girl that was selling some cast photos for them to sign. And I said, are you Morgan? Are you McRae's sister? And she said, yes. And she is just gorgeous. She's a younger sister. And she knew who I was because here's the background. Back when they had the open casting call in Minneapolis, it was March 30th, 6 months ago. They had an open casting call, and Janelle was going to be there for a meet and greet, along with people trying out for Big Brother Season 15. So I went there to meet Janelle, and I thought, you know, look at this crowd of people trying out. Maybe somebody might get on Big Brother from this crowd. So I decided to shoot little short videos from my little cheap digital camera. And after the cast was announced, I went back to look at my video, and sure enough, I picked out McRae, and I also remember actually meeting him because he was one of the last people to audition, and he came out from the audition to meet Janelle, and I was standing over by where she was greeting people. And after he met Janelle and got his picture taken with her, he came out, and this guy the whole time I saw him, he stood out from hundreds of people in that crowd. He just looked like somebody that was fun and exciting, and he just exuded this personality. And so I just basically told him, you know, I wish you luck and everything like that. And then about a week, it was about the first week of September, I finally got around to editing this video of showing Janelle as well as what I captured of McCray standing in line. And I put that video up, and I kept wondering whether his sister saw it, and she never said she saw it. And I wondered if McCray saw it, and he never said he saw it. At any rate, so I finally eased my way in out of the cold weather inside the restaurant, and they were basically, a guy was saying, okay, you four people, you're together? Okay, go up and meet them. And so they went up, and he said, are you by yourself? And I said, yes. And as soon as I took one step toward the table, McCray looked over in my direction, jumped out of his chair. Now, he was wearing his superhero uniform from that veto competition that Ian hosted with the red tape and all that type of thing. And Judd
That's
was there
awesome.
With him. And Judd was there with his bear T-shirt on and everything. But McCray was sitting on the left. Then in the middle was Amanda and then Judd. McCray glanced over, saw me, jumped out of his chair, ran up and hugged me. And I thought, oh, my God, he remembers me. And he had seen the video, and he remembered seeing me at Mall of America. I kind of am this old fart with long hair and a beard, and I was taking pictures. And so I guess I was memorable. But it was so cool when he jumped up and gave me a hug. He looked more excited to see me than I was to see him. And it was just such a special moment. And you're right, it is a special day for me because that was a special moment. I haven't gone. Janelle was the first person I'd ever met from, you know, reality TV. And so this was extra special for me. Amanda looked like overwhelmed, like, what are these people doing? Judd, I introduced, I said, Judd, I'm Paul from Minnesota. And Judd jumped up and he hugged me because he had just been on the show a few days ago. And
yeah.
He was so excited to see me. And Amanda was like, who the fuck? Oh, excuse me. Who the hell is this guy? And at any rate, she looked absolutely stunning. I could not believe how much better she looks in person. She is absolutely gorgeous. And it was just so fun. And here I am chatting with them, telling them to come on our show, talking with them. And
yep.
It's like all these other people are waiting their turn. And it's like I felt like I could have stayed there for, you know, a half an hour talking with them, but I finally moved away. McCray says, take care. See you later, Paul. Thanks again. We'll get in touch with you. And Judd says, we got to get these guys on Manic Monday. Of course, that's the only show he knows about. We could get him on any of our shows. But I felt so special. And I'm sorry I'm taking up all this time, but this was a big, big moment for me. I'm gushing.
Well, I tell you what. I am glad that you had this moment because you always hear of us raving about meeting, you know, new people and house guests and reality stars. And you really, I tell you what, of all people, you really did enjoy McCray. You were rooting for him. He's from your state and town, you know. So I'm glad that you actually got to witness what we all go through. And that's one thing I love about how Ron created this show, and to give every one of us the opportunity. And it's kind of odd how so many years later, they know our names, not only, you know, especially you and Cherry, just because of this show. And that's what I love about this.
I agree.
Absolutely.
And I forgot one other thing that you guys, I carry now, but Michael, you may not realize this, but last night all three of them had a special moment. Janelle invited them to her house down in well south of Minneapolis, and Amanda McCray and Judd went down and partied with Janelle. And who shows up in addition to Janelle, but Amanda Hansen from BB-8 was there. And so they had a great time hanging out with those people down in Lakeville, Minnesota. And so, yeah, it was a special time. So,
well, and Paul was wearing his shirt that I had autographed for him in Vegas from many, many, many reality stars.
Let me fill people in on that shirt. This was after Ron had passed, and it was after BB-13, I believe. And Jerry went out to L.A. to go to the rap party and to talk about Ron and to receive a plaque and those kind of things there. But ahead of time, Jerry found this website to create a T-shirts, and on the front is a outline of a Big Brother key, and in the middle I have Paul from Minnesota, and then on the back it says the Rad Reality Show. And when Cherry was at the rap party in L.A., she went around and thank you forever. She took my shirt and her shirt and got it signed by tons of Big Brother people there. I actually had a girl, as I walked in the front door of the restaurant, this young girl says, "I love your shirt. Can I take a picture of you, of your shirt?"
That is so
cool. Of
course,
mine burned in the fire. But I'm so happy that Paul still has his, because that was such a special shirt. And I'm so glad that Paul still has his, because I worked hard for those autographs. And you know, I'm glad that one of them still exists.
Yeah, you did. And I every time I want to talk about it, I always hesitate sometimes because I know that you don't have yours. But I'm so grateful that what you did for me, and it does continue on. It does live on, and it does. It's magic.
You know,
I'm glad
that you still
have yours, Paul.
You know, I'm gonna try to change this a little bit because I'm gonna cry if I don't change it. This is one thing: is you can leave like Big Brother 15, probably right now one of the worst seasons in a while, if not the worst. And it doesn't matter. It still brings fans together regardless of how bad it was, and we pulled the bad. And we throw it away, and we bring out the good. And that's the reason why I think Big Brother continues to go on. You know, I hear, why does Big Brother continue to go on? What continue to go on? This is it right here. You know, how the fans come together and make something worthwhile out of it. You know, you got to meet Amanda. And, I mean, you're talking good things so far. You know how beautiful she is. And not a one bad thing so far. And, you know, it's kind of weird as we actually do meet these people. I mean, we might find something bad, but we really don't. You know, I sat down and I got to visit with Aaron, one of the biggest, you know, problems this year. And I tell you what, she was the sweetest young lady. Does she have problems? Yeah, absolutely, but we all do. And you got to, you know, meet Amanda, the one that America despised because of the way that she ran the house.
You take me out of this America thing because, as Cherry can attest to, I have never been negative about her. I thought she was an awesome Big Brother player. I've always been a fan of
her. I agree.
I understand the emotional things that can happen in that house. And she would be the first to say she misbehaved at times. But for me, she was one of the stars of that show. When Amanda left, you know, I was certainly sad because I was a fan of hers, and so I was never. Yeah.
Well,
so,
I think, Paul, yeah, absolutely. And you know, this is my theory on this. That's why it's called reality TV. We like drama. We're drawn to drama to a degree, which, I mean, I don't really like in my home life, but, you know, that's what brings the ratings up. And you've got to at least say Amanda kept it real in the house. And did I dislike how she treated McCray? Absolutely. I'll be the first to say, any woman treat me like that, I probably would say there's the curb. But she was a good game player. You know, she did what she needed to do. She won competitions. She wasn't a floater by any means.
That's one thing I was able to say to her. I was so, you know, when you get, as a fan that hasn't done many of these meetings before, I remember when I met Janelle, I thought, does Janelle feel my legs shaking as I'm standing taking a picture? Because that's how nervous I was meeting her. One thing I did say to Amanda, I said, Amanda, you are by far one of the best Big Brother strategists that has ever played this game. And she seemed to really appreciate that. I didn't want to go into, you know, what her problem was is because of she got too emotional at times. But that's one thing I did say to her. And the other rookie mistake, everybody was tweeting me, take a lot of pictures. I took some video, but I didn't take that many pictures because I was just too excited. So I apologize to those that told me to take a ton of pictures. I didn't do it.
Paul, I totally understand that. I totally understand that. I sometimes, you know, I've went to events and people go, get this, get that. And I totally forget because you get caught up in the moment. And it's not that you're being mean. It's just, it is a moment that you will never forget.
Yes, I have to say one person who is great at taking pictures, she has always been. Sherry will remember that she was there taking pictures at that rat party I brought up earlier. I just looked a couple days ago. Moosey has posted a ton of pictures from the rat parties. You're in a bunch of them as well, Cowboy. Have you gone to her Facebook and looked at all her pictures from the rat party?
I'm glad you mentioned that. I will do that right away.
And also up in Vegas, she took a lot of pictures. She's so good at that, wasn't she, Jerry?
She's such a great photographer. I mean, that girl can take photos like no other. And, you know, Moosey, to me, when I first met Moosey in Vegas the first year I went out there, and I've told her this, and I meant it from my heart, meeting Moosey was almost as exciting to me as meeting one of the house guests. She's a legend. And I've heard about Moosey, you know, for so many years. She's done so much for the Big Brother family and Big Brother community.
Yep.
And when I met her, it was as exciting as meeting one of the Big Brother, you know, alumni. She is just amazing. And
did you have to stand on your toes when you hugged her? She's a tall drink of water, isn't she?
She's just gorgeous. I just adore her, and she has a heart of gold, and she's one of those people, she'll do anything for anybody, and she's proved it time and time again. She's helped so many people, so many of the Big Brother alumni. She's driven them, you know, from events, driven them from airports, driven them everywhere, you know. When they didn't have a ride from the airport to an event, she has loaded her car down with Big Brother people and gotten them to the events and just done so many things. And Moosey was the one that got that original Ron photo made for me because she didn't want me to have to fly with it. She had it waiting for me in L.A. because she didn't want me to have to pay to carry that on the plane with me. And so, you know, I paid her for it when I got to L.A., but, I mean, she saved me having to carry that on the plane and have to pay.
How big was that?
It was big. It was a like a poster board. It was like a it was framed on a frame, stretched like on a frame on poster board like, and if I would have carried that on the plane, it was probably like 20 by 30 or something like that, maybe even bigger.
It was big.
And if I would have carried that on the plane, they would have charged me as a carry, you know, something else to carry on. And she's like, let me have that made for you, you know, out here in L.A., and I'll just, you know, get it to you out here in L.A., and that way you don't have to carry it on your planes, because you're going to have to transfer. Each time you transfer, they're going to charge you and so forth and so on. And, you know, she thought about those things where I hadn't even thought about that.
Yep.
And
yep.
She's such a dear heart. She will do anything for anyone. And she went out of her way to make sure that she had that for me out there. And
yep.
I just can't say enough for her. She is adorable. And, she rescues cats and takes care of them from, you know, when they're newborns, raises them and finds them foster homes and then finds them, you know, forever homes. She's just an amazing woman, and she has health problems, but she keeps going,
yeah.
And just, I just love her to death.
I agree,
so,
and I tell you, she's so, she says she's so supportive of the house guest. She's almost, at times, has been a protector, you know, of the Big Brother people. Also, almost as famous is little Minnie Moo, her little stuffed moose.
I'm looking at her pictures right now. I'm not going to lie. I saw that. That's as bad as Gertrude Allen's giraffe. You know, I saw that. That was just hilarious. But you know what? I'm looking at these pictures, and I'm like, holy moly. I mean, there's some good pictures. And,
a photographer. I mean, she really does know how to use a camera.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, and there's some hot people. I mean, like that cowboy fellow. I mean, some handsome guy.
Okay, guys. I'm loving this, but I'm thinking, okay, is it time to move on, or
you think we should talk Survivor?
Absolutely. And let me pull away so I can go to the chat room. Give me a second. we're giving props to Moosey, and you know, I tell you what, they're good pictures. If you're not a friend, you know, of course you can go to any of ours and you know, add her and look at the pictures. I tagged myself in a couple already. But I have to say, Tyson's cupcake belt. Didn't that top it off? I mean, really? I want one. I mean, that's something I could get away with, but the ladies, you want to lick it and not get in trouble. I mean, that was hilarious.
Is he going to start a trend? Are we going to see guys walking around with cupcake belt buckles now?
You know what? You never know, especially with Cowboy. I mean, that would be kind of hilarious. Real quick, I'm going to get off the subject real quick. Alec, Big Brother Canada, today's his birthday. Happy birthday to Alec from Big Brother Canada. I wanted to throw that out there before I forget.
All right. As soon as you said the A-L of his name, I immediately thought of Al the Cop. Can you bring us up to date how he's doing?
As far as I know, everything is, you know, going good. I haven't heard anything bad. You know,
okay.
Of course, he's back at work. So, you know, doing good. He's a strong person. And, you know, sometimes we just, you know, get out of a rut. Sometimes we just got to be pushed back. And, you know, I tell you what, that day or not, I really, to be honest with you, I don't know what time of the frame was. I mean, that's hard for any cop, you know, and I just, that's why I give props to the police officers and I give them the respect. And, you know, I teach my kids to respect them and don't call them names and stuff like that, because they do, they go through so much every day and for little pay. And I just, but he's back kicking. I tell you what, I will try to see if I can pull him out of his rut to come back to the show and talk, even if it's 10 minutes. I know that everyone listening would love to hear his voice again.
Yeah.
So, and he's probably watching Survivor. I know he is.
Okay.
I want to say, Terry Garcia, you already said it, but really, Colton's breakdown was just terrible. And I love how Jeff Probst put him on the spot and basically called him a coward. That was an incredible moment. I love when
Jeff Probst
really speaks his mind.
His butt. And he so deserved it. I had to open the show saying, Colton's gone and I don't care. Do-da.
You know, and the thing,
I'm just,
and
so done with him.
And this is what I don't understand, is when you quit a show, you lose everything. You lose anything that they have offered you. And to just give up like that, I tell you what, that is not the way that I would go out. You know, I would at least go out fighting, and even if I'm the next one to go, I'm going to go out fighting, and, you know, it's not over until it's over. And, you know, and that's one thing I loved about Jeff when he said, Colton, you told us that you've changed, but it seems like you shouldn't even get off the couch the first time. I love that, where he was like, you should have just stayed on the couch. Because there's, you know, players from the couch, and there's players that play the game. And I love how he just stuck him in his place and said, you know what, get out of here. We're not going to give you any more time.
You don't even get to throw your buff in the fire, because that's for people that really played the game.
But that's stupid. I would have made him throw it in the fire, because now some stupid idiot is going to pay some money.
I didn't think about that.
I mean, I would have made him burn it.
Yeah, I also wrote down this one. I mean, I agree with both of you. The interaction that, and this is what makes Jeff Probst so, you know, special as a host of Survivor. He said things that us fans would like to say to him, and he said, Jeff says to Colton, we brought a quitter back, and we got a quitter again.
Right.
And what I really like, too, is that he called him out on the fact that he faked appendicitis to get out of the first time he was there. And, you know, we all wondered about his illness on One World. We all wondered whether that was true or not. And Jeff Probst himself called it like it was and said, you faked appendicitis to lead the game the first time.
I missed that.
And you quit that time, and now you're quitting again. And so Jeff Probst proved it and said it to us all. There's no questions to be, you know, asked anymore. We know now, without doubt, that he did fake it, and he left the game, he quit, he was crying and boo-hooing and faked appendicitis to get out of the game the first time, and this time he just flat out just boo-hooed his way out of there. And so double quitter.
I actually like his boyfriend. I mean, he's keeping quiet. You know, he is doing a lot better than Colton by far, because he's not creating drama.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, I will always wonder, you know, how Colton would have changed if possible. Now I don't think that is possible. If he had been able to play with Caleb, would Caleb have been able to
become
calm him down. Exactly, exactly. But we'll never know, and I agree with you. One thing I thought about when he left, when we were talking about him leaving, one thing I thought about was, you know, how well Caleb will do, and I think he'll do pretty good. He's playing a quiet, good game right now. But, Cherry, as I always know, I'm going to kind of throw this to you just in case. I know you take some extensive notes, and I don't know if you've done that and you want to go that route or not, or should we just continue our random chatting about Colton?
No, well, we can actually this week. I just figured we just sort of talk, you know, at will about the show. I really didn't take the play-by-play notes like I normally do. I didn't know if we were going to have
like
a guest
you
or.
It's not like you.
I really haven't had
anything.
The time. Our week has been jam-packed, and so to be quite honest, I didn't have the time to sit down and take notes like I normally do, and so we can
I want to talk. I wrote down a few things, you know, kind of highlights. I don't do the detail like you do, but it opens obviously with previously on Survivor and all that type of thing. And Colton, it was kind of setting it up where Colton was, you know, frustrated because nobody wanted to play, you know, talk strategy. And he kind of asked Eris, you know, am I in trouble? And Eris says yes. And you could get a sense that he was going to quit. But in last week's episode, we saw next week on Survivor, we saw Tyson, who led it, the way they edited it led me to believe, yep, at least, that maybe he was going to switch and take Rachel's place at Redemption Island. But so we open with Redemption Island. Candace, Marissa, and Rachel come in, and I loved how Rachel basically started calling out Brad and, you know, then, you know, about his running things and deciding, you know, to put him up there to weaken, you know, to get Tyson to swap. And Tyson basically said, Rachel, do you want me to swap? And she basically told him no. And then Brad and Tyson go at each other. And then Marissa types in again, as she did last week, and she basically says to Brad, F you, Brad. And Jervis, her uncle, jumps in and basically tells her, you know, to cool her jets, you know, calm down, don't be talking like that. But Brad is really, in this episode, has really been a target because of his, you know, running things, or appeared to be running things, don't you guys think?
Absolutely. I tell you what, me personally, though, I was really sad to see John go. And I was really hoping that they were going to lock up and send Brad home. But it just don't make sense. And the only thing that made John target was the immunity idol, and he didn't have it. But the thing is that's what hurt him. I think that if she didn't give him the clues, he would have been fine.
Well, and then the other thought is, I kind of last week thought maybe he would start sharing more, and as it turns out, he didn't really open up and share, you know, about whether he had it, and so his guy alliance was starting to lose trust in him. But
he talked about this to the wrong person.
Exactly, but the competition between the three Redemption Island contestants was like a dominoes-themed event, and Candace just killed it. She and then Jeff says it's 114 degrees out here, and I thought, oh, my God.
Can you imagine 114 degrees?
Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, it makes me wonder, or it makes me understand why Richard Hatch went naked the whole time he was on Survivor. I understand that now.
That has
okay.
to be so incredibly uncomfortable to be out there trying to do that challenge in 114 degrees with you know, all eyes on you, camera crew, plus all of the contestants, you know, staring at you, you know, under all that pressure and, you know, knowing that this could be it for you. And 114 degrees with the sun beating down on you. Oh, my gosh. So we do have somebody on the switchboard that might like to come on and join us. He's
Yay.
Certainly well-versed in Survivor, and we haven't had him on air with us in a while. So, Michael, if you don't mind, I'd like to bring somebody on air with us.
I would love that.
All right. We have Mr. Michael Doyle from Survivor Whispers. How are you?
Howdy. I'm doing well. Thanks, everybody.
So good to hear
Long
you
time
again,
to
Michael.
Talk to you.
Yeah,
How was
it's
your
great
vacation?
To hear you guys. Oh, it was great. I vacated, that's for sure.
It seemed like you enjoyed every moment of it, and you certainly deserved it.
Oh, I lived every moment of it, yeah. Just a little tidbit for you guys. I posted it in the chat room. You guys were talking about John not sharing the idol. Actually, he did. Miss AE, my very good friend from Survivor Whispers, he posted a couple days ago that they chose not to edit or show that edit on John sharing that idol clue and information with the tribe. So they obviously tried to meddle around with a bit of the edit there in that episode.
Yeah, they got me, Michael Doyle. They got me.
Yep.
The editing did.
Yeah.
I want to quickly, if you would do me a favor and touch on it, I want to find out how your Big Brother audition went. Did you end up going or no?
I went up. I went up there, did the 20-30 second spiel, talked about my working out. Don't think the guy believed me because I'm really going hard. So, but it's their loss. So got no callback, but had a blast. Got to meet Andrew and the winner and, what's his name, the guy with the cowboy hat, Garrett.
Emmett?
Yeah, Emmett, sorry. Yeah, and so I got to meet them all, and they all heard of me, of the group and everything. It was just a blast. We had a great time just a few seconds there, so it was pretty cool.
Hey, okay. The question is, did you bring up the M&M Alliance?
No, I didn't. No, I was just talking about like what I've been doing with like since the last audition and stuff, and then the next one, they're just going to be like, I'm going to be like up there, and I'm going to say, hey man, it's your loss, you know, and look at what I'm doing. So, you know, basically. So I understand it's like every season they need a certain fit, and you know, it's up to them and what they're looking for. So I don't hold it for
them. Well, don't be disappointed.
Like, I'm not. I had 30 seconds of fun, and that's all I needed. So, you know, that's great.
As we've heard stories from people that have finally gotten on Big Brother, you just keep plugging away because there's been a lot of contestants that have tried out for years and finally gotten on. So you never know, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
They called me back 2 years later, and so you never know. And I only submitted an application one time, and they called me 2 years later. So you never, like you said, you don't know what they're looking for that season, and you just got to keep trying and trying and trying.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But anyways, I don't want to really talk about me because this is a show that I love. Yeah, this is a
Well, Michael,
show
I
want to
ask you.
Yeah.
In my opinion, and this is just my opinion, I think this is one of the best Survivor seasons ever. What do you think?
I strongly, strongly disagree with you.
Really?
Yeah.
And Cherry, let hold on a second, Michael, because I know where Cherry's going with this. Why do you feel that, Cherry?
I just think there are so many layers of tension in
strategy.
This season. There's so many layers of depth to this season with the family involvement. When you see mother and daughter, when you see brothers interacting, when you see, you know, the family involvement tied into it, it really adds a new depth. And
there's,
I just think it's an incredible season.
Oh,
I'm
boy.
So into it.
It adds so much more new strategy that is coming into play. Is you know, when you say layers and depth, I think all the different strategies that we've never seen being used before, right, Jerry?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, with Redemption Island being there, and then being able to offer the
swap.
The swap, and then being able to offer the clues to whoever they want. I mean, there's so many decisions and new things thrown into this season of Survivor that we haven't seen before. And, you know, you add the family tie aspect to it. It's just, there's so many layers to it. And
so that's why we think, Michael, I agree with Jerry, and that's why we think it adds so much more to this season, and it's more intriguing because of those things. So do you see that part? What is the part that you don't?
What don't you like about it?
I have to be very, very careful here because obviously, you know, the part that, let's just say if you look at the episodes, Jeff is getting pretty much the same amount of airtime as Survivors.
Okay, he's a producer, and he's got so much invested, so why shouldn't he get the same amount of time?
I'm just putting it diplomatically, Michael, so... I gotta be careful.
Okay, I see what you're saying. He's doing the political, guys.
That has been an issue for Michael Doyle in other seasons. Jeff's involvement, is that not true?
Yeah, and that's the thing that is irritating me. And I tweeted him that, like, for example, Colton. He seems like a great guy, like a very personable guy, someone that I wouldn't mind, you know, shaking my hand with. And that's the thing that I have to do, is because in life I'm not a quitter, but,
right.
You know, this is not life. This is a game. So what I have to do is, first off, I'm hearing an echo here. Okay, I think that's gone now. Okay, what I have to do is respect the player, respect the person. So it's a really hard for me because of what I've gone through not to cross that line and be like, you know what, hey, okay, there's other quitters that I like, really, really like, that I've grown to know very personal, and, you know, they've supported me. So I think out of respect for the game, I can't, you know, not be the fair treatment with that person that just quit. So, but it is very tough, like, how it was done. And so, like, there's just so many things that a lot of people don't know what's going on, you know, and I think that's very unfair for, like, Colton and for, like, a lot of the players, because we are only seeing 1 hour of what happens over, like, 3 days. And yeah, and for
right.
me,
we don't have that same behind the scenes info that you are dealing with.
But overall, I totally agree with you about the different elements of, like, the family stuff, you know. But a lot of it, you got to look at it too. I am going to, like, say if my brother or, like, my dad, he was like, when we first watched the season over at my dad's place, and Michael, my dad does not watch Survivor, okay? He only watches Survivor when I watch it with him, because he knows, like, I'm a diehard fan. And he looks at me and goes, Michael, this changes the game completely. If we were on the show, would you go head-to-head with me? I go, Dad, you've always had my back all my life. I would have your back on the show. Anything to get you further, I would do for you. So, you know, that's the kind of element that people would probably bring into that game. And I see what Jeff was trying to do with as many twists and turns to throw them off. But you're, from what I know and from what I sense, it's going to be a very, very, you know, kind of iffy kind of season. And
right.
It's just for me, and for me, you know, I would never betray family. I would never betray the person that I would be there with.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, I see what you're saying. That brings a huge perspective, you know, to the table. I mean, that's something that we – that's one thing I love about the show is, you know, we've got people to bring in that perspective. But it's also, again, on our perspective,
yep.
I'm interested. That's the reason why I decided to, you know, be the host of the show, just because it was different. But I do see what you're saying. When the merge happens – you're going to see them go straight to their loved one and do gameplay. And that's probably what they expect. But right now, it's kind of hard to do that.
Exactly. And, like, that's why I respect you, Michael, because you guys in this show has brought me to light about, like, last season for Big Brother. You guys were saying, oh, hopefully this will correct a lot of people, but it was so hard for me to watch. But then I looked at it from that perspective saying, you know what? You guys are right. And that's the thing I like about this show is everybody can have their say and everybody's responsible on the show. And that's something that is very meaningful for me. You know, I'm not afraid to express it, but I am also very courteous of where I get information from and who I am talking to or who I am talking about. Because you never
right.
know, you may meet this person and they may be totally different in person. So, like, that's the thing, you know?
Okay, I want to go back to last night's show now and talk about that Redemption Island duel. Mm-hmm. After Candace, you know, killed it and got first place again, who were you guys hoping would get the second place, Marissa or Rachel?
I was hoping Marissa.
How about you guys, Sherry and Cowboy?
Hold on, I'm looking at my notes real quick. I think I wanted Rachel and Candace as who I was rooting for the challenge.
Right, that's who I was rooting for too.
Well, this is going to be
simply
an interesting
show. Jervis and his loud mouth was starting to get on my nerves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate the fire, the fire that Marissa has. That certainly brings drama into it. But I also was kind of hoping, you know, that the thing would backfire, you know, on the other tribe and that Rachel would win. But, oh, my God, it was a pretty amazing final two to make that spot. You know, they've been out there over 45 minutes. Everything kept dropping on the dominoes. And at one point, Marissa even felt like she was going to pass out from the heat. And I thought as those duels go, that was a pretty suspenseful part of the episode last night.
I wouldn't have thought it going over 45 minutes because from sitting on your couch, it looks like it's simple. But, you know, being there, it has to be stressful. And, you know, they in the editing and the production tells us 45 minutes, but I'm wondering how long that actually took.
Actually, Michael, everybody, I was watching TV AfterBuzz, Colton's interview, just now, and it was posted today. They were talking with him and stuff. He hasn't actually left the island yet, so he was watching
wow.
this whole. Yeah, he was watching this whole competition, and he said he was out there the whole time. And he said he was just like he was sweating bullets just from watching it.
Wow! Well,
they made him suffer is what they did.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, normally they just take you off the boat, but because it wasn't anticipated, they were just bringing out one boat, so they were going to bring them out together, I guess. So,
yeah. So then after they get back to their camp, the first thing that happened was Brad starts to try to do damage control. I don't know about you guys, but I think he has kind of dug himself a hole. I don't know if you keep him on because he could be a target, but he basically, you know, has taken a leadership role, and we've seen from past whenever somebody does take that role, they are often in danger.
Absolutely. And Paul, and I'm glad you brought his name up, because I'm going to ask you, and it's kind of weird I'm asking a question, but I know that of all people on the line, I think that you will know this. So what year did he play football?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
What year did he play pro football?
Oh, he's probably been out maybe 5 years or so. He did play up here in Minnesota for like one season. He was a defensive back, and then I think he went down to play in Tampa for the Tampa team. But I think he's been out maybe about 5 years or so.
Well, what I'm getting at is, which, I mean, that would make a little bit of sense because the salary situation, you know, in 5 years, is he probably still made a good paycheck. And I'm wondering if he still is comfortable and he's cocky enough where he's just there to just make his name bigger, is what I'm getting at. Because, you know, the ones that has a little bit extra money, they go in their cockiness. Kind of like,
yeah, he was a quarterback, not a defensive back.
Yeah,
he was a quarterback.
The funny thing is, Michael, he wasn't the first football player. Steve Wright was in the first Redemption Island, and he was a football player as well, wasn't he?
Well, no. There were several football players, but what I'm saying is, what is driving him to be this cocky? My theory on this is, does he have a lot of money and he's just going in there just to get his name out there? Because it almost seems like he don't care. But you've got his wife that's playing a low-key type of game. And I have to say, I'm going to say this. And if it gets to him, I don't care. I'll take the ass beating. I don't care. But she looked good, no bra on, in this last episode. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
I've talked to her before, and she's a really nice girl.
I like her a lot,
too. And she's beautiful. She is really, I tell you what. But, when they were making them allegations on her husband, you should have saw her face, and I know y'all did, too. She's like, holy crap, he is in danger. She's played the game. She knows he's in danger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
no,
you know,
I totally agree.
He's not going to win the game, and we all know that.
Right.
If he wins the game, something's wrong.
Right.
Okay, now, the thing that I like about the Redemption Island, when they do the challenges and stuff like that, is the fact that they bring everybody there to watch. So if I was there, like, I would pull a Philip, like, from the first Redemption Island, and I would assess everything. Like, where are people sitting? How close are they sitting together? Is anybody on one tribe sitting over closer to the other tribe and taking a look at them and maybe whispering something? When someone does something, does other people follow and take a look? Like, that's stuff that I would do, because when you're there, you're assessing everything. And that's what they do at the challenges, too, is they assess everybody, where they're standing and stuff. They're playing that game, like, 24-7. And, like, even though it's Redemption Island, they're still looking at what's going on.
Yeah, I'm going to start paying attention to that. That's something that you probably can see, you know, kind of behind the scenes and read into it. I then want to talk about, they get the tree mail about the competition for the immunity challenge, and anybody that's ever watched Survivor knew that it was going to be a jousting kind of competition. And there was Brad Culpepper, who, you know, was a professional football player, kind of training them to keep their balance, and, you know, with working with Vetus. And Vetus then starts talking about his, you know, wanting to go up against his brother and the history that they have. I just love that part of the family aspect, the brothers, Eris and Vetus. I think that is something that I will always be interested in as the show goes on because of their history. Don't you guys agree?
That was a good fight. I mean, I literally, of all the battles, that was the most real moment in the game. However, guys, if they merge, them two brothers will come together and they will be powerful. Hold me to that. They will be powerful. Them two guys are very powerful. They're putting a fight on right now. Was that fight real? Absolutely. But when they merge, and they will merge together, I will see that. They're both playing really good games. They will merge together. You will see two brothers unite for the first time.
The thing I liked, too, was when he tried to pull that little tricky move on him. And, like, you know, that was classic. Like, I do that to my brother no matter what. But whenever I fight with my brother, he always licks his one finger, his index finger, and he mushes up my glasses whenever we fight so I can't see him. Like,
that is funny.
That is so brother stuff right there. And I'm like, that's Paul. And I called my brother, and I was like, oh, my God, man, you got to watch this. He said, yep, that's us. except when we're 70 or 80 years old, we're going to be forgetting what we're fighting about, and then we'll just be all brotherly. And then
being a big brother person, one of the highlights was when I saw Hayden against Tyson, and I thought, this is going to be a real battle. Oh, my God, how fast Hayden knocked Tyson off was just amazing. And even though Tyson ends up getting his shoulder, you know, disconnected, and they had to bring medics in. Hayden, that had nothing to do with him falling off. Hayden got a great shot in. Don't you think he's really proving
Hayden's
himself
a
on Survivor?
Hayden is a stud, and his body shows us that he's a stud. And, you know, the thing is what's weird is, his body, you would see him on Survivor. You wouldn't necessarily see him on Big Brother. And for him to win Big Brother, now he is actually on Survivor just whipping some ass. And he's really, I mean, we will see him to the merge as well. I know that we will. And, I mean, he is playing a real good game right now. I mean, I don't think, unless if they've said this on the island and they did not edit, not once I've heard yet, we should get rid of him because he's a winner of Big Brother.
He's playing a very good game. He's keeping his mouth shut, and he's not once mentioned Big Brother that we've seen on edit.
Well,
now, whether he is or not, we don't know, but he's really, you know, playing under the radar. He's not talking a lot. He's not being a big shot. He's not bragging about, you know, oh, I won Big Brother, you know. He's not out there being, you know, Mr.
Cherry.
I won, you know, a reality show already. You know, he's staying under the radar, keeping a low profile, and just observing.
And I got to say something.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I have to say something. Before I went on vacation, I met Hayden here in Winnipeg. And
cool.
the guy is so quiet in real life, but he's the nicest person on earth. When I talked to him, he kind of knew of me and the group and stuff. This guy, he is so down to earth, and he's such a really, really nice guy. And I patted him on the shoulder, too, and we kind of looked at each other. And this guy, like, he sizes you up, but he's totally himself, and you don't feel threatened by him at all. So if that's the persona that he brought in into the game, I think he's going to do very well.
Well, I will say this, that if I was a female and I was Kat, I can see how, why she's fallen in love with him, because he is an awfully special, nice guy. Don't you think?
I'm at Hayden and Kat in October, and I tell you what, I'm seeing Kat has grown up in that little bit of time since I've met her, and it's not an attack to her. But Kat, guys, I mean, she's playing a good game, too. She's doing the same thing that Hayden's doing. Under the radar, she will make it to the merge as well.
Look how she did in the challenges, too. She's kicking ass and taking names, man.
I think that, I think her and Hayden both worked out next to each other, and I think Hayden coached her. I mean, I know Hayden. He's a competitor, and he grew her to where she needs to be. And, you know, I can't get out of my head, Paul, what you said. I mean, the video that you played last week about her falling in love with this man. And I just, it's all coming together. They're really meshing really well together.
And that's the thing, like, when you guys were talking about at the beginning of the show about the mixes and the different strategies and stuff like that, I see what you guys are saying with that, because when you're looking at Kat and Hayden, when they're playing, Kat is playing a game of a survivor that's returned. And then she's got to worry about that kind of strategy, and then on top of that, she's got to say, oh, hey, how is Hayden doing on the other tribe? And they got to have, like, some sort of maybe signal system when they're meeting, like, together at challenges. Like, I think that's what's going on, is people are like, you know, are you okay, and things like that. And you heard that with Tina and her daughter when they were at the challenge.
I was
right?
going to say,
was like,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say it's emotional for all genders of the family members, but it seems to be especially hard for the females. And what you brought up with the mother-daughter duels, you know, jousting, I mean, Laura comes up and she starts crying before she has to battle against Sierra, her daughter. And, I mean, that's just really... that's got to be tough for those people, and I can't wait to the merge to see how it all plays out.
Exactly, and I think that's where we're going to see a different gameplay, Paul. And I couldn't imagine going against my dad or my mom. I mean, me personally, it's a respect issue. I don't think I could go up against them. But guys, you know, one thing about casting and the production, they got people that would least attempt to do that, you know, to get to the merge. And I think to the merge is when we're going to see our loved ones come together. I think with the merge, I really honestly don't see any of the loved ones voting one another out. I just really highly don't see that.
Terry, what do you think about the female aspect, like that part of the strategy?
I think it's going to be tough. I mean, it's already tough.
Yeah, like it's a whole element for them, because normal previous survivors, Michael, is when you go on there and you have the family thing, they could never compete to play with you and stuff like that. Like, to play part of the game, they couldn't do that. Like, remember when Brandon Hance's father tried to strategize when he was there on the island, and he got frowned upon for that. And that was, like, something totally that was unacceptable. But now they're playing with family members and stuff, and it's I see what you guys are saying about the different elements, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to be out there with total strangers and have to make decisions, you know, because you've made sort of bonds and friendships in the closeness that you develop just being with them day in and day out over 39 days or, you know, the whatever time you spend out there in the bush, living together in these elements and having to survive day in, day out together. But you bring family members, loved ones into the mix, and then they came in thinking they were going to play together. And then they switched it up on them and made them play against each other. And that threw them for a loop. And it really, I think, played a mind game with them that they weren't expecting. And so you see them, you know, we saw last week when they you know, came into the dome ready for the Redemption Island Challenge, many of them were already crying just to see, you know, if their loved ones were going to come when they walk into the dome. I mean, the emotions that are brought into this season are totally different than any other Survivor we've watched. And then you bring in the fact that they have to make that decision if their loved one does go to Redemption Island, am I going to make that decision to take their place or not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the right decision for us? You know, and you take mother and daughter, you take brother, you take, you know, uncle and niece, you take, you know, there's a lot of different relationships there. But each one of them is going to have to make that decision at some point, whether they're going to step in and take the place of their loved one at Redemption Island, or if they're going to sit back and leave their loved one in Redemption Island for them to do the work in Redemption Island to try to get back in the game and them stay in the game and try to win it themselves. And that's a tough decision to make, you know, because
it really is. And Redemption Island, and Cherry, the thing is about Redemption Island also that they're not coming up with. If y'all tell me if I'm wrong, and I don't think I am. Rob, Boston Rob, went to Redemption Island and hung out there, and they end up winning Redemption Island and coming back and winning the game. Is that right? That was the scene that he came back and won the game, right?
No, he was never sent to Redemption Island.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he had the idol the whole time, and he played that in the fourth, when he was at fourth place, that's when he played the idol. He was always in the game. He said,
I thought he went to Redemption Island.
No, he never did.
No.
So who went to Redemption Island and then came back?
That was the blonde hair. The blonde hair guy.
Yeah, I always forget his name. I can see him, but I can't think of his name. But that's the thing that goes on and on for me when they have Redemption Island is duel after duel after duel. When, if you can help answer this, Michael Doyle, when do they end that? At what point does Redemption Island end or once somebody comes back from Redemption Island, does it still go on? I'm just forgetting.
Yeah, that's a decision really up to Jeff, and he decides when to shut down Redemption Island. They let it drag out as long as possible to a point where either probably A, it changes the game right before the merges kind of thing, or B, when it's deep enough, like, say, probably one or two before the jury. Like, that's what happened on the first Redemption Island, and then they sent him back, and then he came back within the middle part of the jury because he went back on the jury.
One of our chatters, Michael Doyle, I don't know if you saw that, said that blonde-haired guy's name was Matt. Is that what you remember?
Oh, Matt. That's right. Yeah, Matt. Yeah, he was out there in Redemption Island probably, I think, 25, 26 days.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Well, here is the new loved ones twist.
Sorry, Michael, but I just wanted to correct you. I hope I wasn't too harsh on that.
Oh, that's one thing about the show. And, you know, it just, that's one thing about the show is we will not agree on everything. And that's the reason why I was asking. But, you know, one thing, you know, you brought up about Jeff Probst. What's so unique about Jeff Probst? And I know there's some controversy about where he is now, you know, the big head and all this. One thing I do love about his show that a lot of people don't know is he was out of work, and he went to a casting to be a part of hosting Survivor. And now look at him. And
yeah.
It's so cool to be able to see his whole horizon of Survivor. He's an executive producer, and he came from having no job whatsoever, sitting on a radio show that they were doing casting for hosting, and he just showed up and just owned it, and now look at him. And I really think that's an accomplishment.
Michael, did you hear part of the story about the newspaper?
Maybe not.
Okay, what he did was for his call, he actually made a whole article up, like he made a pretend newspaper, and he put his photo on the cover of the newspaper, and he made a whole article about him being so successful in the show and then all the different things. And then Mark Burnett later at that meeting told Jeff Probst and said, "We're going to have this season 10 seasons later on. We'll still have this show." And then now they're in their, like, 27th, 28th show.
Yeah.
Wow.
I look at the clock here, and I don't know if we'll extend, but I want to kind of finish off last night's show. And when they lost for the third time, they went back, the Todd Hanna tribe went back and started talking about who's next. And, of course, they first, all the guys get together and focus on one of the two girls. And then Brad pipes in and starts pushing for John to go because he's, you know, got the idol and all this type of thing. And he's worried that if they do merge, it would be John and Candace would be so strong together. And so he starts pushing on that. And then other people start talking about, well, we're kind of irritated with Brad. Maybe we ought to focus on getting Brad out. And for a Big Brother fan, the quote when they had Hayden, he said, "Boy, this could be like Pandora's box." And I thought,
I love that.
I love that.
We got another fan on the switchboard. I want to bring up. He might have something to add to this too.
Okay. Well,
so if you don't mind,
I want to
bring. Oh, Michael, you don't have to go.
No. It's fine. It's fine, really. It's
no,
totally
you don't
cool.
have to go. You
no,
don't
no,
have to
no,
go,
no.
Babe.
We don't want you
Cam
to go.
Cam with us.
Okay. I was just going to say, too, before I was going to go, but guess I'm not.
I'm going to bring up Daniel.
Hello.
Daniel, you're on air with us.
All right, finish your thought, Michael.
I nicknamed this episode Breaking Brad.
I love that you use that. Are you a Breaking Bad fan? I mean,
totally, since episode one, man.
Yes. Okay, well, we don't want to bore people that aren't into that show, but oh my God, it was
epic
show, and what a great finale that they put together, that Vince Gilligan put
yeah.
together. It was really good. Okay, yeah, that's a good nickname for this show, Breaking Brad. Anyway.
Sorry about that, man.
Hi, Daniel. How are you?
I'm good. What's everybody calling you Daniel? I thought everybody calls me Shady now.
Shady.
Oh,
Shady.
Oh, Shady, what's going on?
Yo, Slim Shady.
So did anybody think that Tyson was going to switch because of the commercials shown last week?
I already admitted that I bought off on that edit from last week. I thought he was going to swap.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but also, Dave, I think Caleb was going to go home with Colton.
I never that never crossed my mind. I mean, you got me thinking now that you brought it up, but I just, from what I've seen of him, I didn't think that he would. Why would he?
He's in a strong position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, something funny, I was talking to Katie, who she said that during the battle, when she battled her mom, Tina, her mom actually licked her ankle to try to get her to fall off.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, who was it one of the guys said, my God, here you got a 60-year-old woman. I mean, she's old, but she's not that old.
Were they talking about Tina?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
She wrote
stuff I can say about Tina right now. It's just too funny.
me personally, I really honestly think her daughter just let her have it. I mean, it's one of them things where I just don't see the combination that her mom would beat her. Yes, her mom's tough. She's won the game before. But I think that she just could not face putting her mom in the water.
Yeah, we'll never know, you know, until they fess up afterwards. But that aspect of this show is just, it's crazy. I mean,
there's so many elements in that, Paul. Like, you know, like if I like what Jim said, he was telling me, like, Michael, if I was playing this game with JJ. This is Missy A.E., Michael, sorry. He was like, if I was playing, what I would do is I would, like, if I was doing well in the game, like, strategically, I would somehow slowly, fake that I'm trying hard, but actually try to lose the challenge on purpose.
Exactly.
So then that way, my fiance or my wife or someone, like he was saying, wouldn't have to go to tribal council. And this is like a whole, like, different kind of element that you would see, you know?
Well, my understanding is, I mean, as father, you know, being on the platform, regardless if I've won the game, I think I would let my daughter push me in the water knowing that they have not won one, because hypothetically, a female was going to go home that night. I mean, they didn't know who was going to go home. Me personally, I think I would have probably tripped and, like, pretend I hurt ankle or something and really played it off and let my kid win, knowing that my daughter could possibly go home that night. But the thing is one thing I love is it's – we're watching from the couch again, and really, one thing that Jeff did say, and I will probably carry on with this show, is sideline couch, basically. You know, we're watching from the couch, and, you know, that's the reason why that show is very successful, and going that many seasons, and wow, I mean, it's just, I don't know if I could compete against my daughter, and I even asked my daughter, and my daughter was like a deer in the headlights. I mean, she really couldn't even answer how she would do. But, of course, she's younger than the girls that's going on there right now. But it's just, it would be really hard knowing that my daughter could go home that night if a girl's going home.
And right. Michael,
I think one of the reasons that Survivor is so successful is that they have found a way each and every year to keep it fresh. And they keep something, they change something about it each and every season to give it some new freshness and always keep it entertaining. It's never exactly the same.
Well, the thing is about Survivor is you have a whole island. So you're able to do different type of elements and stuff like that versus, you know, if you're stuck in the house. And the one thing about Big Brother is they're running out of ideas to a degree, because Survivor is in how many seasons, and they has used every idea out there, and Survivor doesn't want to release any of them. I mean, technically, imagine there's a patent on them ideas, and it's one of them things where they have to negotiate and make it, you know, to a degree, which we don't probably look at it that way, but I think that's, you know, pretty smart, you know, educated guess.
Hey, Michael, you bring up a very good point. I was talking to a couple of the very first producers of Big Brother. There was the transition that they made from Holland and Germany, because that's where it first originated, correct?
And Holland,
I think,
yes.
I think you're right. And then the UK, I think, followed.
Yeah, what they did with Holland and Germany was they had, like, different technology and stuff like that involving, like, the cameras and the processors that they were involved in the filming and stuff. So what they had to do was bring all that stuff over to L.A. So you take that same concept that they're doing with CBS for Survivor, because they're at the completely other end of the world, and you're looking at all the different elements that they're having, like all the different camera types and everything, too. So there's, like, all that element, too, in the production and stuff. I don't know if I accurately, you know, looked at it from that perspective, too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's that production adaptation that they have to go through. And so you have, like, your one world with Big Brother, and then you have your one world with, like, with Survivor, and there's so many different, like, tools and software and stuff that's involved.
And, you know, the thing is I'm just throwing this out there, you know, Big Brother has already used a family type of situation. So I'm wondering if Survivor had to get some type of permission from Big Brother. So my question is, okay, if this happened, and this is hypothetically, we're just, this is a, you know, a guess. So my theory is, did Big Brother switch something with Survivor? And will Big Brother be bringing something that Survivor has used? That is really a good, you know, idea, because, you know, Big Brother has actually already used families and type of, you know, situations. So my guess is, could this be, and there's a lot of rumors about it, fans versus favorites type thing, and I'd be okay with that if it's an even match down the middle, half and half, and not one person extra on one team.
That would be, I would watch that. And now that you guys are spending more and more time, like, telling me, like, the different elements of the strategy, it, you know, that's the thing. Like, I sit back and I listen, and this season's starting to become more and more interesting.
Yeah, I absolutely love this season. I find it very intriguing, and I'm actually, like, on the edge of my seat at times during this season. And, you know, my husband works second shift, so he can't watch it, you know, until hours after the show has ended. And when he gets off work, you know, I talk to him on the way home, and I'm like, I can't wait for you to get home and see Survivor. You know, I mean, it's that exciting to me. I can't wait for him to get home and watch the show. That's because cool. There's so much going on in it, and I know he's going to love it. And it's just one of those seasons where you can't wait till the next episode. I think it's a great season already, and we're only a few, you know, episodes into it, but I just love what they've done with this season, and I think they're going to have a tough time topping this one. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do next year, but they're going to have a tough time topping this season.
Well, I mean, I want to know what you guys think with our peek into next week. I always have a hard time with that tribe name, Tadang or whatever. Do you think they'll finally win one? Because all that they really told us was that Brad was in trouble. But three in a row they've lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Oh. I would like to see them win one. And I tell you what, the question is, okay, Paul, I'm glad you brought this up. If they win one, who goes out on the other side? I mean, have we really seen a conflict of interest
It would have been Colton.
It would have been Colton, and he stepped out. So my question is, do they get rid of Rupert's wife? And I really hope that does not happen.
Well, that's the thing that first popped into my head, but I also made a comment last week that she said, you know, that she's not a target because she's all by herself. She doesn't have a loved one on the other side, kind of, you know, hinting that they should break up an existing couple, if you will. That's a really good question. I'm not sure who would be the target if they had to go to tribal.
That would be a tough one. I mean, because really getting along really well. And they have not showed us any signs of weakness except Colton. You know, and so, I mean, and they really have brought Rupert's wife in like she's one of the family, and she really is. But it's one of them things where,
well,
are they going to target her?
As you know, Michael, in Big Brother, the early people they tend to vote out, they come up with any reason. You know, it's not as strategic early on, and if they have a hard time, she would be probably somebody that maybe they would target just for, you know, a lack of, you know, a good reason for the other people. I also want to, before we end the show, I am looking forward to the twist of John and Candace, who are now going to be facing off against each other at Redemption Island. I think that I don't know how that's going to play in with the whole family thing, the loved one thing.
Do you want to hear what I think is going to happen?
I do.
I do.
It's going to be them two at the end, and you're going to get to see that family friendship, and we'll see a little bit more of Redemption Island because you've got your husband and wife left on Redemption Island. I really think that they're both strong enough where they will win, and they will get to spend quality time with each other, and that will be the best time that they've ever spent in their lives. And they'll remember.
Now, what do you think Jervis is going to say about that?
okay, do
guys.
I really care?
I'm gonna sign off here, guys.
Michael,
thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's always such a pleasure to have you with us. You bring so much to the show, and we appreciate you so much.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. The show, guys, it brings a lot of happy memories for me.
Well, we love having you on.
You're always welcome. Yes.
Hey, Michael, Eminem, the lines forever, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you ever get on there and they say, hey, pull someone from the U.S., you know where I'm at.
Yeah, if they ever do a U.S. versus Canada, I'm going to your side, man.
I appreciate that, Bubba.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Take care, MD. Thank
you. Take care, babe.
Yeah, stay safe, everybody.
You as
you
well.
Too.
Goodbye.
I
was going to say, I think the vets actually will say they have two weaknesses. Jervis in the water and Tina because she can't lift anything. She's not that strong. I think it'll either be Tina or Jervis as their weakness, even before Lar.
I like that that aspect. I hadn't thought about that. Good point, Daniel.
Yeah, I guess they did kind of bring up Jervis has had hard times with some of the games. And so, yeah, I mean, I could, you know what, more you say that, if they really think of it, you know, they may get rid of Jervis. I don't know if they get rid of Tina right away, but I think that they could get rid of Jervis. Now thinking about it, I think they can do that. So
now what is the female male breakdown now of the returning tribe, the Galang tribe? That could come into play too, as far as if there's more women, maybe a guy will go.
Oh, Paul, I didn't write that in my notes. Oh, but I tell you what, I do have the cast up on my screen. Give me a second, and let's see what I can, see if I can figure that out. You have 1. I think it's almost even, Paul.
Is it 5 and 5?
Because you got Eris, 1, 2. No, there's more girls because Colton quit.
Oh, it's 9 now. That's right, Colton quit. Yep. Anyway,
there's more girls.
That might come into play, you know, as far as, you know, in comparison with the other tribe who had been targeting the women all along, but no.
Yeah, because Rupert dropped off, his wife came, there's more girls than guys.
Yeah.
That's
anyway,
a good scenario.
I am looking forward to next week, see what plays out again. So, Any other Survivor talk here, guys? Or Sherry, what do you think?
I'm done. I'm just so tired tonight. I really haven't been able
to sleep.
You know,
I'm just exhausted tonight.
I wasn't going to do this, and of course, Sherry knew a little bit. And as we're wrapping up, and I've got a morning ahead of me tomorrow morning. I don't share my business to a lot of people. I just don't. But I do ask for prayers for me as I go through a series of 3 tests with my body. Don't know what's going on, but I've got a doctor that is very fortunate that he's going to find out what's going on. And I go through 1 test tomorrow morning, and then I go through 2 more on Monday. So as a family, I guess I'm asking for prayers, and keep me in your thoughts. And we will get through this. And like I said, I've got a doctor that I feel like that is going to be amazing. I prayed before I went into his doctor's office and said, God, let this doctor find out what's going on. And as I'm pulling out my paperwork, there's Bibles all in his office. And so that is really a good sign. And then, of course, his intern is really good friends with one of my closest friends. He's now a doctor going through so many practical intern hours. And so I feel like I'm in good hands and, you know, we will get through this, and just keep me in your prayers. I don't think it's anything major, and that's what we're going to pray about. It's not going to be major. and I'm laughing because I'm trying to have some good humor about everything. And, you know, like I said, when I will have some answers by next Thursday. And, you know, I'm praying that it's nothing. But the doctor does feel like there's one thing going on, and he's been practicing for a long time. And so, you know, it's one of them things where I wasn't going to share with you guys, but you are my family, and I want y'all to keep me in your prayers and thoughts. And I promise you without a question of doubt, I will be here next Thursday. So, you know, I like it at the end where we've already did our talk and, you know, do the sad and all that. My best moments, the reason why I'm doing it is the fans. And I am so excited to finally hear Paul with the Reality Stars.
I'm still smiling with him getting to meet McCray and Judd and Amanda, because I'm jealous, because I still haven't met McCray and Amanda. So, but my ultimate goal, who knows? I'm calling Judd up probably tomorrow and say, hey, I want Amanda and McCray on my show. So you never know what's going to happen, because I do have Judd's number now. And I want to thank the fans. I want to thank the people that listens on podcasts. I want to thank the people that's in the chat room. Without y'all, we wouldn't be here. And our founder, Ron Rad, to give us the platform to be there for each other. He didn't create a reality show. He created a family, and I'm very proud to be a part of it. And so, by the way, I am watching Amazing Race. I am keeping it adapt, so who knows? I may actually have to call on Mary's show one day and talk about it. But so far, it's keeping me interested. So who knows? Maybe they've redeemed themselves as well. So I love you guys. Paul Cherry, thank you so much for being my producers. Without y'all, I definitely wouldn't be here as well. So thank you guys.
We love you, Cowboy. You know that you're in my prayers, and I want to hear from you as soon as you get out of there tomorrow. Okay, babe?
Oh, absolutely. It's early in the morning, so I promise I'll let you know.
Okay, babe. You're in my prayers tonight, and I'll be waiting for that call. God bless you, and I'm going to play this closing clip from Ron, especially for you tonight, Cowboy. We're going to take this one out tonight for Cowboy. As Cowboy said, thank you to everyone for being here with us tonight. We love all of our listeners, and we want to remind you to be with us on Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, for The Amazing Race Second Pit Stop Show with Mary Conley from The Amazing Race Seasons 10 and 11. And with that, I'm going to play this clip from Ron to close it for Cowboy tonight. There you go.
I'm going to close the show off with a song. It's a song that means something to me, and I just want to say thank you. But, you know, you guys all mean something to me, and this is the best way to close off the show. And it's what I say to you guys every time I think about you guys, and I love you guys. And guys, come back. I love you guys, and I appreciate you guys so much, and I do praise the Lord for everything he did today. He's been good to me. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Ron, I'll be watching over you, Cowboy. Love you.
Thank you. Love you, too.
Good night, everybody. Take care. God bless, and be kind to each other. Good night.